Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to a brilliant Saturday of racing from Newbury and Ayr are David Jennings and Graham Rodway from the Racing Post, and Paddy Power, Super Shrewd, Frank Hickey. If you like your sprint handicaps, you're in for a treat. You've got the Gold and Silver Cup at Ayr. The highlight at Newbury is the Mill Reef. There's decent stuff away from them as well, including a really cracking renewal of the Doonside Cup up at Ayr. We'll get cracking first and foremost, though, with the big race of the day. It's the 340 at Ayr. It's the QTS Ayr Gold Cup over 6 furlongs, traditionally one of the hardest races in the year to solve. I hope the boys have been studying hard before we get their verdict. We'll get the betting from Paddy Power.
Yeah, it's we're paying 6 places here, Bruce. Mr. Lupton favourite at the moment at 6-1. Nahar, Stone of Destiny, both 7-1. Bielsa, 8-1. Saxton, 10-1. Wise Counsel, 12-1. Air Raid, Arecibo, 14-1. And we're 16s bar.
DJ, you're not going to, are you? You're just not.
No, he's gone. He's not just gone. He's gone forever. When I saw that head carriage coming into the final furlong last week, I said, that's it. I've washed my hands. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm embarrassed. That is it. Never, ever again, Bruce. Never again. So don't even mention his name. And if the lads do mention his name, I'm going to hang up.
Okay? We better mention his name.
No, don't.
People aren't going to know what you're on about, are they?
They know.
Everybody who listens know that you tip Arecibo every time it runs. But you're not going to do it today. Who are you going to tip?
He is a poor man's Archibald. That's what he is. He's a horrible horse. Right. I'm going to tip Nahar. I'm going to keep it fairly simple. I think he's the best horse in the race. And I think the race should be run to suit as well. I think conditions should be in his favour. I just thought in the Stewards Cup, like, he was sent off 3-1 favourite. They obviously thought he was really well handicapped. Like, they spread out right the width of the course at Goodwood, like they tend to do. And I just didn't think things went to plan. It's not that Anton went drastically wrong. I just didn't think he was seen to best effect. I think if you go back to Newbury in the performance before that, it was so straightforward. It was effortless. He won by 2.25 lengths from Watan. That form was Frank since. The way he travelled at Royal Ascot and the way he got to the front so early suggested to me that he was a group horse in the making, certainly in these sprints. And he's 7-1 with Paddy Power. It's not great value, but I think Nahar is going to win.
I really do want G-Rod to tip Arecibo. Who are you going to go for?
I would just want to do it just to annoy him, but
you would.
And they put all sorts of stuff on him, haven't they? They put eye shields and blinkers. And I'll tell you, you know, if anyone's going to get the best out of him, it will be Andrea Zenny. He's a really patient jockey and he rides.
He'd want to be Paul Daniels. That's who he'd want to be.
But no, I can't do it. I just thought it was between Nahar, who obviously ran really, I think, quite a good race at Goodwood when he finished ninth, because I remember saying on this show that you don't want to be drawn higher in the Stewards Cup at Goodwood. Now, I know a few of you are going to come shouting at me saying, well, Summer Gand won it from stall 16 and or 17. Nahar come from stall 19. But yeah, Summer Gand did win it from stall 17, but he did race more towards the far side. They got him out and sort of he seemed to weave his way more towards the far side to centre rather than the near side to centre, whereas Nahar was always on the near side. And I don't really think you want to be on the near side over 6 furlongs at Goodwood. So I think to finish ninth from that stall 19 was a superb run, actually, from Nahar, even though a lot of people would have been disappointed because he was 3-1 favourite. And I think he's right to be at the front of the market. But for me, the bet is Hey Jonesy, who ran a similar race to Nahar, really, at Goodwood. He won the Wokingham, beaten Summergand, who obviously won the Stewards Cup, so the form's fairly good. Now, last time they ran him in Stewards Cup, same as Nahar, and he, again, had a horrible draw. He was out with Nahar in 15. And something wasn't right there. He just didn't look a bit weird. He was holding his head funny, and I just wonder if that downhill track really suited him. I don't think he acted at the track. And I just caught my eye that Kevin Stott is riding Hey Jonesy here instead of Bielsa, who's right at the top of the market for Kevin Ryan. Kevin Ryan's won it 4 times since 2007, so he knows how to get a winner of this. And Kevin Stott is definitely Kevin Ryan's first jockey. I'm fairly convinced he would have had the choice of this lot. I mean, he's ridden Bielsa on 4 of his last 6 starts. Bielsa's 8-1, and Hey Jonesy is out at 20 odd to 1. I'm fairly certain that Stott would have chosen Hey Jonesy here rather than Bielsa, who's ridden by Tom Eaves. And that's good enough for me. So each way, it's Hey Jonesy.
Thank you, G-Rod. Who are you going to go for, Frank?
Yeah, I can see the case for Nahar. And even Hey Jonesy. But I like Wise Count Cox. He's half-brother to the Group 1 place, Nahuza Canarias. I think he was Spanish-trained. If you remember back to Night of Thunders, 2000 Guineas, he actually was sixth. That was a really good renewal. But he's very interesting. If you go back to his juvenile form, on his third start, he was third in novice race at Haylock over six furlongs, only beaten a length. And the two in front of him were San Donato and Hello Yunzane. Hello Yunzane's obviously won a couple of Group 1s since, and San Donato's top class as well. On his next start, Wise Counsel broke his maiden back at Haylock, beating Angel Alexander, who actually won the Air Gold Cup last year off a high enough mark. He had four starts last season, won twice, Sandown off 87, and at Ayr over seven furlongs off a mark in 91. Was third in listed races, reappearance at Goodwood. Didn't get the clearest of runs that day. I think he could have finished close to the length and a half. The last run at Ascot screamed prep to me, and he's drawn 18. I have a sneaky suspicion high is where you want to be here at Ayr this weekend. We'll find out today in the Bronze Cup. But he's got a bit of pace around him with a bungee jump drawn in 24. He's going to blast out in front. And I think Wise Counsel's got a really good each-way chance.
Thank you, chaps. David Jennings goes for Nahar. Graham Rodway goes for Hey Jonesy. And Frank Hickey goes for Wise Counsel. Let's switch our attention to the big race at Newbury next. It is the, let's have a look, it's the 325. It's the by duty-free Mill Reef Stakes, a race won in the past by decent tools like Harry Angel and Ribchester. Eight go to post. Frank, take it away with the show.
Yeah, 5,000 to one is 2-1. Rhythm Master, 5-2. Bahrain Pride, 4-1. Devil Walla, 7-1. And we're 10-1 bear.
And Graham Rodway, is this a race you have a strong view on?
Not particularly, no. Although it does catch my eye that Sylvester D'Souza is down at Newbury rather than riding at Ayr, where obviously he could have ridden Bielsa, Stone of Destiny, two of the favourites in the Ayr Gold Cup. He also couldn't ridden Fox Chairman in the Doonside Cup, and that's going to be one of the favourites. So the fact that Sylvester D'Souza is down at Newbury instead to ride what must be his main ride of the day, 5,000 to 1, in this Mill Reef Stakes. That just suggests to me that he must think quite a bit of this son of Frankel, who absolutely bolted up last time out at Newcastle and looked fairly smart. Now, he's going to have to be fairly smart because we've got the Morny Third in here, River Master, who wasn't beaten that far at Deauville last time. And he's also got the also beaten Bahrain Pride lining up. Bahrain Pride beat 5,000 to 1 on his debut first time out, albeit 5,000 to 1. Was 5-6 favourite that day, so he sent off odds on his debut, which again suggests that he must be showing quite a bit of ability at home. And he was green as grass and still almost won the race. So I think 5,000 to 1 will reverse that form with Bahrain Pride. And just the fact that Sylvester is down there to ride and the fact that he's gone off, what, odds on both his starts, I think that they think this horse is very, very smart. 5,000 to 1.
Thank you, Graham. Frank, who's your Mill Reef selection going to be?
Yeah, I price this Anti-Post, and I'd probably put in 5,000 to 1 a bit big. We've been laying it all week. I'm surprised he's favoured over Rhythm Master. Rhythm Master brings strong form in with his Group 1 third the last day. My only reservation with Rhythm Master would be he might just need soft grounds to be at his best. It was obviously on the easy side of Deauville, and there was a bit of cutting in Haylock as well. So the more it tries out, I think it might get to potentially good to firm in places tomorrow at Newbury. It will be 1-0 with him. I kind of think there's a first edition's worth an each way play here at a big price. We're a little bit under 10, and that is as a result of me liking it. Other firms are a bit bigger. Clive Cox got a really good bunch of juveniles this year. Obviously, he won the Coventry, Fernando Prado at 150-1. He won at Goodwood with Supremacy, who had a very similar profile to first edition. Beaten first day out, very green, improved second start. First edition won really well at Sandown, beaten significantly, now significantly missed the break, so you can't really, you know, factor that in and be bar significantly. There wasn't a whole pile in the race, but I like the way he went about it. Clive Cox has got a good line into the two-year-old form this season, and he's 10-1 with us and bigger elsewhere. I think that's worth a few bob each way. As I said, I'm not sure about the ground for Rhythm Master. Baron Pride and 5,000-1 are closely matched. I'm not sure they're, I know both of them won last one. I'm not sure they're top class. Maybe I'm wrong. I just give a squeak the first edition, turning them all over.
Thank you very much, Frank. And we should mention the weather actually. It looks like it's going to be dry in Scotland and England, so the ground should be good. Maybe a bit of firm down at Newbury, as Frank says. DJ, who do you fancy for the Millreath?
The Ben really surprised me here, Bruce, because I know, obviously, he can make excuses for 5,000-1 at Windsor in his debut, and he sent off odds on, obviously. But I just don't understand why Bahrain Pride is twice the price of 5,000-1. I thought at Windsor, I thought Bahrain Pride was plenty keen enough, and he still found plenty inside the final furlong to repel 5,000-1. And last time at Ripon, again, probably on the unfavoured part of the track, away from the rail in that listed two-year-old trophy, he travelled really strongly, still, again, a little bit keen, and he was still green when he hit the front. I don't think we have any idea how good this Bahrain Pride is. Like, let's just take official ratings as a guide here. Bahrain Pride is rated 103, and 5,001 is rated 92. Now, obviously, 5,001 hasn't ran in a listed race like Bahrain Pride has, so he hasn't got the chance to prove that he's better than his mark. But on ratings alone, the betting is bonkers. And I just think with Bahrain Pride, he's won both the starts on soft ground. James Doyle is convinced that he's going to be better on better ground. And to me, I think we haven't seen the best of him yet. I actually thought he'd be favoured for this race, so I'm surprised that he's not. So I think Bahrain Pride will make a 3-from-3, and I think 4-to-1 is a very fair price.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, DJ. And by the way, DJ, may I just say well done to you and your brilliant colleagues over on the Racing Post Irish desk for your coverage of the tragic death of Pat Smullen this week. I think that the stuff you put out there were a fitting tribute to a great man. So well played, you guys. Let's do the rest of the Newbury card next.
Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples, all UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Three more ITV races to cover for you from Newbury on Saturday. We'll start with the 140, a 5-furlong dash. It's the Dubai International Airport World Trophy Stakes. It's a Group 3 and Equilateral. Blimey, have they finally found a winning opportunity for him? Frank, give us Paddy Power Show of Betting and tell me whether the answer to that question is yes.
Equilateral and Lazuli are both drawing favours of 15-8 with us. Tis Marvish 3-1 Wise Words, 15-2, and we're 22-1 Bar. I wouldn't be so sure, Bruce. Look, Equilateral was the cliff horse for me going back a little bit. I've given up on him completely. He ran okay last week in the Curragh. My issue would be is that Equilateral, I think, needs a bit of a gap between his races, and I wouldn't fancy him backing up a week later, 6 days later even. Like, even if you look at his profile, like, he's 5-21, which doesn't look too bad, but he did win 3 of his first 6 starts. So since then, he's only won twice from 15 starts. For a horse with his ability, it's pretty poor. And I'm going to side with Lazuli, the 3-year-old. He's a little bit to prove as well, but he's a bit unexposed. Last year, he won 2 of his 3 starts, disappointed when Upton Grey to Group 3. He bolted up in the listed Scurry Stakes at Sandown in June, absolutely annihilating Keep Busy. Keep Busy was second in the Flying 5 last weekend. He disappointed in the Carl Charge and didn't see out 6 furlongs at DeVille, but I think the drop back to 5 on quickish ground at Newbury is going to suit him, and I just take a chance on him turning over Equilateral. You could definitely make a case for Tiz Marvis as well, but I'd be quite negative in Equilateral now turning out so quickly after his run in the car.
Thanks, Frank. Frank goes for Lazuli. David Jennings goes for
Equilateral, Bruce. I just think at the Curragh, I agree with Frank. I am a little bit concerned that he does need time between his races. But the one thing I will say is that last week in the Curragh, he actually ran far better than both his finishing position and the distance he was beaten suggests. I don't think William Buick wanted to be as far back as he was. And he was kind of behind horses the whole way. And it was a funny sort of race. You backed the winner, Glass Slippers, who you cheered home. And Glass Slippers did very well to win. But you could make a case for 7 or 8 of them coming into the final furlong. And I just thought it was a messy sort of race. He's better than these. He has more ability than these. Yes, there's the question about whether the race comes very quick, but I don't think he actually had that hard of a race last Sunday. I thought he just about came off the bridle inside the final furlong, and he should be fine. He's the best horse in the race. He was second in the King's Stand. I don't think any of these could finish second in the King's Stand. And I think because he's Equilateral, and people are going to talk about him the way Frank does, I think he's going to be a bigger price than he should be. And like, this is his big chance. He just has to win this race.
Righty ho, G Rod, are you going to put your faith in Equilateral?
Equilateral, no, I don't think I am. No, I don't really like the horse. He's a bit of a disappointing horse, isn't he? Like, you always think he's going to win, and then he doesn't do it. And you think, oh, he's a good horse, and then when he drops in class, you think, oh, this is his chance, and then he disappoints you, and it just looks like he might do that again. I'm going to go with the horse that Frank is obviously pronouncing wrong, Lazuli. For Charlie Appleby. We were all over this horse, weren't we, a few weeks ago at Sandown in the Scurry. I don't know what happened there. Well beaten behind our Arlie. But maybe that wasn't a bad race. Our Arlie's not a bad horse. Liberty Beach, pretty smart. I just think maybe he went too hard. And then last time out, he was at Deauville. That was over 6 furlongs. Don't think he really stays 6. So he looks a speed horse to me, Lazuli. And a drop back to 5 furlongs. Probably be good enough for him. Lazuli.
Why are you so sure that you're pronouncing it right and Frank's pronouncing it wrong?
Oh, yeah, Lazuli, isn't it? It's just right English, isn't it? It's correct English. Lazuli.
To be fair, he's probably correct, Bruce.
Why? Well, hang on. So what do you mean, Lazuli? It's not a word, is it? It's not an established noun or anything, is it? What does it mean?
I don't know. To be fair, it might not even be English. it's probably Arabic or something, isn't it? I don't know. It's a good old thing, isn't it? Maybe we should ask Sheikh Mohammed.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good idea. In the meantime, though, we'll turn our attention to the 215, which is the Dubai.
It's a band, I think, isn't it? I think it's a band. I think it's a rock band, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
I think so. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm only guessing, but I thought I heard somewhere that it's some kind of a band in Italy or Spain or France or somewhere. Anyway.
Oh, blimey. Well, I shall research that while... DJ, you're going first on the next one. You're bound to go on and on about this race, so you'll give me time to research it. But before you start, Frank, what's Paddy Power's latest betting on the 215 at Newbury?
Tenbury Wells is 130. El Arab, 4-1. Starcat, 6-1. Maidani, 7-1. Uzo and the City's Phantom are 8-1. Good Birthday and Kingbrook, 11-1. And we're 12-1 bar.
You're right, DJ. Lazuli are a French progressive rock band formed in southern France in 1998 by Claude and Dominique Leonetti. Well played. Yeah. I've never heard of them.
Not just an ugly face, yeah.
Amazing. Excellent. Never mind that. Who wins the 215?
I'm going to go for El Arab here, Bruce, because I thought he did well to win at Beverly. It was a four-runner race, but it was a decent four-runner race. One of Keel's favourites was in at HMS President, and Throne Hall got an easy lead on front. And I thought El Arab kind of, again, attacked probably on the unfavoured part of the track on the day. And I thought won by a neck officially from Throne Hall, but I thought he won more comfortably than that. He's gone up £6 for that. The form of his Wolverhampton win has been franked since by Spirit Dancer. And I just think he's a horse that's, he doesn't do much when he hits the front, and he's won by a neck, three quarters of a length and a neck. And I think for that reason, he hasn't gone up much in the handicap, but I think he's steadily progressive, and I think there's more to come. So I'm going to go for El Arab.
Who are you going to go for, Graham?
It's the favourite, yeah, Tenbury Wells for John Gosden and William Buick. Now, I backed this horse last time at Sandown, and I thought it was massively unlucky not to win. I mean, I know you can be pocket talking or whatever, but he really just, he had them all banged to rights the whole time. And then a brilliant light just stormed home and got him on the line. They were well clear of the rest. John Gosden won this race with a similar type back in 2011, Tack Lead. And this is the sort of race that lightly raced improving three-year-olds do well in. So it's Tenbury Wells, sadly, the favourite for me, John Gosden, in the 215 at Newbury. That's the race, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And just to give you an advance warning, the 250 at Newbury will be the next one we do, OK? But before we do that, we'll get Frank's view of the 215.
Yeah, this is my last go with Starcat, but I'm going to give him one last chance. Obviously, was very quick on the clock when he won debut at Kempton over a mile. Had a go in the Guineas, wasn't disgraced at all when he finished midfield in seventh, shaped quite well that day. The soft ground, the Britannia, was against him. Again, didn't appear to get the best of rides at Goodwood over 10 furlongs. Was staying on in fifth, beating 2.5 lengths. And again, at Doncaster the last day, he was just too far back and was running on into fourth. He's been dropped a pound to 93. He's surely capable of winning a handicap off that mark, I think. And I'm hoping tomorrow might be the day he finally breaks his handicap, Doug.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Let's move on to the 250 at Newbury. It's the Dubai Duty Free Legacy Cup Stakes. It's a Group 3 and it's formerly the ARC trial. There's only four runners. The only thing I can tell you is that the ARC winner won't be running in it. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet?
Extra Elusive 7-4, Desert Encounter 15-8, Alarcon 2-1, and Gifts of Gold is 8-1.
With maximum trepidation, let's see if Graham Rodway is ready to deliver his verdict on this.
Yeah, probably been quite some time since the ARC winner used this as a prep, I'd say, if ever. But it's a weird little race, isn't it, with a couple of funny horses in it. Elakam seems to have completely lost his way. Don't know what's happened to him. Thought he was an absolute certainty last time out of York, a trek that he's run all of his best races over. And he just was bitterly, bitterly disappointing behind Aspetar, despite getting his own way up in front. Couldn't back him. I don't know what's, because maybe it's just a Mark Johnston bad run, but he was, you know, he's formerly fairly consistent horse. Desert Encounter, now he's a right old character, isn't he? One of Jamie Spencer's favourite horses. He has to be ridden in the Jamie Spencer manner. You have to hold him up and hold him up and hold him up, and he wears a hood, and he either comes through and wins on the bridle or ducks out of it. Couldn't be backing him in a four-runner race. So it only leaves you a couple, and that's Extra Elusive and Gifts of Gold. And Extra Elusive has to be the bet. He's a massively improving horse, which is a lot more than you can say about his rivals, coming in on a hat trick. Should stay this extra furlong, I think, Extra Elusive. He's won his last two over a mile and a quarter. So that's good enough for me.
Thank you very much, G. Rod. Frank, do you agree with Graham?
Not quite. I kind of a lot of the same reasoning. And Arkham has the ability to win this easily, but he's just been out of sorts very badly the last twice. It's very difficult to back him with any confidence. Gifts of Gold looked to have a bit to find. He was impressive in a handicap of 10 for the last day over off 100. Extra Elusive is the improver and is going for a hat trick. Has to concede £3 though, and I'm just going to stick with Desert Encounter. Like, David Simcock has actually won this four times in the last 5 years. Desert Encounter has won it twice in the last three. The only year he was beaten was 2018 when he was third on soft ground behind Young Rat. He actually won it last year beating Pivoine, and it was only a 5-runner race. I wouldn't be overly worried about it being too tactical. He ran okay two starts ago, good over a mile and a half, and he was two quarters of a length behind Pablo Escobar, and he was beaten just over two lengths behind the Don DeVee at Windsor, but that was on soft ground. I think back on better ground it's going to suit. He obviously likes Newbury, and I think he'd like him to win it for a third time.
Okay, only four runners. We've had two different tips. Will we have three different tips?
Oh, we have three, Bruce. Yeah. I have a theory with Elarkam. I don't think as he gets older, he likes making the running. I really don't. And I thought last time at York, you might say he got an easy lead, but Jim kind of tried to pinch the race on the home bend and didn't. And I think once Elarkam was passed, he kind of sulked a little bit. There was definitely an excuse from the time before at Ascot. He doesn't fully stay a mile and a half, and he lost his right fore shoe as well. Like the time before that, he was beaten a short head by Lord North and was a length and a quarter ahead of Telecaster. Like, that is by far the best recent form in this race. It was only June. And I actually think Mark Johnson's horses are in better form now than they were when he ran at York back in July. And I like the way he's given them time to recover from that run, which was obviously below par. He was 15-8 favourite. He was well beaten. But he's just so far superior to these, I think. Like, he's not a Group 1 horse, but he almost is. Like, we all know he might have won the Judmont last year against Crystal Ocean and Japan had he got a clear run. And I just think he's going to get a lead here, because I think either Extra Elusive or Gifts of Gold will want to make it. One of them two will want to make it. And I think Jim will be able to sit second, and I think he'll be able to just hit the front two out. And I think that's what Elarkam needs, just a pace to just sit on the tail of a leader and then pounce. That's when he was brilliant when he won that York Stakes last summer. That's exactly what he did. He tracked the pace and then he kicked on two out, and he was really impressive on beating a Deb. I think this race would be run to suit. I think he'd track the pace. I think he'd kick on two out. And it's just simple. He's just better than these. So if he's 90% at his best, I think he'll win.
DJ, what's the theory again?
That I don't think I'm not convinced in the last 2 years that he likes leading in races early.
Why not?
Change his mind.
I don't know. I just don't think he does. I think all his best performances have been when he sat handy and then attacked. I'm just not convinced. I know that run against Lord North, he set the pace. But if you remember, Lord North went like two lengths clear, and then he came back at him, and would have been in front in another stride. Like, he was 11-8 favourite that day. Like, this is not as good a race as that. I just think he's better than these.
G Rod just sent me a text saying, "What a load of bollocks." That's really rude, G Rod. He's doing his best. It was it's a confusing one. There are only four runners, three different tips. Who's to say Gifts of Gold won't win? Right then, let's do a fascinating Doonside Cup next.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway, and Paddy Power's Frank the Tank Hickey. We're looking ahead to three more races on the ITV card at Ayr, starting with 155. Really looking forward to this. It's the Jordan Electrics Doonside Cup. It's a listed race over 10 furlongs and a Dave is favourite. I can't wait to hear what the boys make of his chances. But first, Frank, what's the latest?
He's 11-8, Fox Chairman 11-4, Lord Glitter's 4-1, Yukon Glen 15-2, San Donato 9-1. What's the story? 25-1 and Delgarno's the rag of the field at 50-1.
Interesting race this, Frank. Who wins?
It's very difficult to look beyond to Dave. There is a bit of cut of ground there, and that's all he wants. He's a class horse in the race. So three runs this season, two group ones in Australia, and he ran a grand race in the Prince of Wales at Ascot when beaten just under four lengths by Lord North in second. He just has far superior to this field. He is conceding a £7 penalty, and you might have a small bit of a concern that he's using this to leave him cherry ripe for the Champions Stakes next month. But at the same time, he probably should be just too good here. I'm looking at it there. We're gone 11-8. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes off odds on.
Ah, interesting. Do you agree, David Jennings?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I think he'll probably just win. Again, like 11-8, I'm not sure if it's definite value, but I can see Frank's point. He could be shorter. Simple case of the best horse in the race, and I think his class will prevail, but I guarantee you Graham Rodway will tip Yukon Glen.
Well, let's find out. G-Rod, Yukon Glen or a Dave or one of the other five?
No, boys. I was just going to say, Frank must be rubbing his hands together at the idea of laying this a day, but 11-8. I mean, this is just a terrible price. This horse, he was second in a Group One last time out. It's okay saying he brings Group One form to the table, but you've got to remember he's carrying a £7 penalty, right, for winning Group Ones. Those Group Ones that he won were all in Australia, and their Group One mile and quarter horses ain't anywhere near as good as ours. And then he brings, Group One form to the table from England. But that Group One that he finished second in last time in the Prince of Wales is at Ascot. It's got to be like the worst Group One run of season.
Shocking
race.
He was beaten three quarters of a length by Magical in the Champion Stakes last year.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago. This is a shocking race. Lord North won the race by a mile, and like Gayath fresh Lord North last time, and then Magical beat Gayath. Then, like the third, Barney Roy in that race at Ascot, right? That's won two Group Ones, but those Group Ones were in Germany, right? And last time out, Barney Roy in Germany beat Communique. Now, we know how much DJ loves Communique. That form is... Japan was fourth. Japan's only beaten one all since in two starts. And there's only run in two races. One was three runners, one was six runners. Only beaten one all since Japan. The fifth horse, Bangkok, finished last in the Eclipse. It's like the worst Group One run all season, that Prince of Wales is. And Adabe is carrying a £7 penalty, and he's coming off a 94-day break. And this won't be the target. Like DJ's saying, I mean, he ain't going to be fully wound up for this race at all, Dave. Not after 94 days off. They're definitely teeing him up for Group 1s later in the campaign on soft ground. He's got to be the lay of the day for me, Dave. Maybe the lay of the month or the lay of the year. Fox Chairman will beat him. I mean, he has been a good horse, Fox Chairman, for a long time. They've always held him in high regard. He's been a little bit disappointing. Sylvester's ridden Fox Chairman eight times, all eight starts. He never wants to give up on this horse. He's got to be one of the best horses that King Power's got, certainly one of the highest rated. And he ran very well last time out behind Extra Elusive, who I fancy to win that ARC trial at Newbury. And his previous run was fairly good as well, behind Aspatar in the York Stakes. There's no way Adib can give £7 to Fitzgerald. No way.
Sylvester's given up on him tomorrow, though, hasn't he?
Well, I presume that Sylvester thinks that this 5,000 to 1 thing must be a machine, because why on earth would he be down at Newbury and not riding Fox Chairman? I mean, Fox Chairman's one of the bets of the day, and yet he's down to ride 5,000 to 1. I mean, you could even do the double, couldn't you? Fox Chairman and 5,000 to 1.
All right. I tell you what, G-Rod's got some gears on him, hasn't he? Sometimes there, he's almost crying while he's telling you what to do, and other times it sounds like he's trying to get spider off the wall and he couldn't be bothered to tell you what's going on. It's absolutely superb. That was vintage stuff, G-Rod. Well played. So there you go. DJ and Frank both like Adib. And I get the slight impression that G-Rod doesn't. Let's move on to the 2:30. It's the QTS Air Silver Cup, a consolation race for the Air Gold Cup, obviously, over 6 furlongs. 25 runners, very difficult. Hopefully plenty of extra places, Frank.
Yeah, we're paying 6 places online, Bruce. Kings Lynn, 7-2. Atlanta's Boy, 9-1. Rathbone, 10-1. Golden Apollo and Admiralty, 12-1. Hyper Focus, Get Knotted, Abrahama Gold, Bernardo O'Reilly, 14-1, 16-1 bar.
Okay, so DJ, on Monday when we did the postcast, the lads were saying that if this Kings Lynn gets into the Air Gold Cup, they will fancy it. He didn't. He's in the Silver Cup instead, and predictably extremely short. Rightfully as short as he is.
Yeah, see, these horses that are unexposed and you have no idea how good they are, like, just are really short. They're just always going to be really short. Look, he beat Rapper T last year at Doncaster. Looked a good horse. Was second to Frank's beloved Starman. Was 8-11 last time. And, you know, no real excuse. American 94 probably does underestimate him. But this is a Silver Cup with whatever 25 runners, and it is a serious lack of experience that he's got going in here. So I think you have to look elsewhere. The one that I like is a 25-1 shot called Show Me from the Richard Fahey stable, who is actually quite lightly raced. He's a name that seems to have showed up more than he's actually ran, but. He's been gelded this season. I think he's actually ran far better than form figures of 9.853 suggest. Last time at Goodwood, I thought that was a good run after being slowly away behind Glamorous Anna. That was off American 92. The handicapper's been generous in dropping him to American 90. He's got some really good form from last season. He was only beaten 2 lengths by Liberty Beach in a Group 3 at Goodwood. Like, he started this season off American 101. He's only ran 4 times and he's down to American 90. He does have problems in the stalls and he can miss the break. But if he gets away on terms here, he's drawn stall 3. It's hard to know whether that's going to be a help or a hindrance. But he's 25-1. His cheek piece is on. I think the ground, the track, and the big field are all perfect for him. And I think one of these days he's going to win a big sprint. So 25-1, show me.
Thank you, DJ. Graham Rodway, who do you like for the Silver Cup?
Yeah, fairly boring here, because I think the favourite will win Kings Lynn for Andrew Baldin. There's not a lot of pace in this race. It's a huge field sprint handicap. And I can only really see one confirmed front runner in the race, and that is Arbalay, who's coming out of stall 2. And Kings Lynn is drawn in stall 6. Now, Kings Lynn showed quite a bit of pace last time out at Doncaster. It's hard to know whether that pace will still be in evidence in this much stronger handicap, because that was only a novice race, so it wouldn't have been as hard to lay up with them as it will be here, but certainly seemed to go through the race quite well. And I just thought blew up, really. It was the first run since winning a big sales race last year at Doncaster. Traded at 1.27 in running on Betfair, and just shaped as though he was in need of the run. So I think stall 6 might be a decent draw, because it's quite close to Arbalay in stall 2. I think you get a nice toe through, and I think the favourite will win, Kings Lynn.
Are you going to go with the favourite as well, Frank?
No, I'm not. I kind of echo what David said. He's obviously got loads of ability, and the second Starman looks a lot better for him now than probably it did at the time. He could be thrown 94, but it is like he's only had 3 starts, and the lack of experience could get him.
Has he been popular, Frank? Have they been backing him?
Well, our betting's only just gone up, Bruce, so we haven't had it up very long, obviously. I think we've only put it up this morning. There hasn't been a whole pile yet. We'll see this evening now what it's like. I thought Hyper Focus might push on the high numbers and be prominent enough. The one I like, it's actually the second favourite, Atalanta's Boy. If you remember back, I was really fancying for the Stewards Cup and he missed the break 10 lengths. But what was interesting there is he was very well back that day. He was 25s into 11, so obviously a big run was anticipated. And when you look at his overall profile, He's had 10 starts in handicaps. He's won 5 of them. And in one of the ones he was beaten, he was only beaten a neck in second. And this season, he's been very progressive. He's won 2 of his 4 starts, winning a chance for it off a mark of 81. And he was second at Windsor off a mark of 86, beaten a neck. And then the last day at Goodwood, he bolted up off 88. Carries a £5 penalty for that. I think he's drawn 15, so he's kind of middle to high. I suspect, as I mentioned already in the Gold Cup, I think that's where you might want to be. Hyper-focus, hopefully, he'll kick on. He's coming out of 18. He made all to win a haydock the last time. So hopefully he'll kick on and give a bit of pace to the race. And Atlantis Boy is just a handicapper going places. And I think there's a big handicap in him at some stage. I'm hoping the inexperience catches out King's Lynn and Atlantis Boy might be able to take advantage.
Cheers, Frank. Frank goes for Atalanta's Boy. Graham goes for King's Lynn. David Jennings goes for Show Me. Show Me. One more ITV race to do. It's the 305 at Ayr. It's the Scotty Brand Firth of Clyde Filly Stakes. It's a Group 3 over 6 furlongs. There are 15 runners. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, we're giving them 4 places as well here, Bruce. Old Cultum, 2-1 favourite. Illicato, 11-2. Lullaby Moon, Mamba Wamba. Scarlet Bear and She's So Nice all 8-1. Perfect Times 11-1. Red Fascinator 12-1. And we're 14s bar.
I'm just the presenter, not the tipster, but I've got to say, Colton was very impressive at York. That will do for me. Who will do for you, Graham?
Yeah, I'm with you, Bruce. I think that Colton will be very hard to beat. There are quite a few people knocking that form, the Leava form. However, the second Sacred was, well, very close to winning at Doncaster last week. I'm not quite sure how she didn't manage to do it. And the winner, Miss Amulet, I think she's fairly smart. She won that race well. Colfam wasn't that far behind them, having run quite an eye-catching race, off the pace, slowly away, and then keeping on nicely. I think that form is really already the best form on offer by quite some way. And I thought Colfam just shaped like she would improve massively for the run. So, yeah, one of the bets of the day at Ayr 305, Colfam.
Do you know who or what Colfam was, G-Rod?
No idea.
She was, because she's no longer with us, one of Egypt's most legendary singers. Her face is on stamps and banknotes over there. She's an absolute legend. Colfam. Are you going to go for the favourite as well, Frank?
I am, yeah. Clocked a really good section. We won a Tursk, came from a mile back to win. That was a decent enough maiden for Tursk. I thought she did plenty wrong in the last day at York and finished off strongly enough. If she just gets a little bit more professional, I think she'll be very difficult to beat. I assume she'll improve again for the run at York. The experience won't be lost in her. And while there's a couple of interesting ones, like Illy Cato, who was only beaten 2¼ lengths by Happy Romans last time, and Lullaby Moon, who got a career back on track when he had Goodwood on her first start for Rafe Beckett. They're both interesting, but yeah, the favourite should be very difficult to beat, and I wouldn't be opposing her.
Do you agree, DJ?
Oh, this is a good thing, Bruce. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. You got in there first. And for the first time today, I'm going to agree with Graham Rodway. She's just going to keep getting better with every run. And that was a cracking effort last time in the loader. Like, the fifth that day, Scarlet Bear came out next time, was only beaten, like, just over 2 lengths by Happy Romance. The winner, Miss Amulet, has been bought since. They think she's really smart. And the form just stacks up. From a viewing point of view, she looks as though she's definitely a proper group stakes filly. And, if she runs up to a mark of in around 100, she's going to be good enough here. But I actually think she's better than that. I think she'll get up to about 108 or 9 maybe. So, I'd be very disappointed if Cultum is beaten, Bruce.
And also, DJ, I think she's one of the few that had to come from a long way back to figure at York. It was one of those meetings where you generally wanted to be on the pace. Excellent. I'm glad you have endorsed my fancy for Colton in the 305. Right, that's the TV races done. Let's see what else the boys fancy. We've got the rest of Ayr. We've got the rest of Newbury. We've got Newmarket. We've got Newton Abbot. We've got Wolverhampton and over in Ireland, Garran Park. And DJ's local course, Navan. So, DJ, what have you got for us?
In the main race at Gorham Park, Bruce, it's a Group 3, and I'm just going to get the time for you because I know you're a stickler for the time. It is at 4:55. It's a Group 3, the Lambwaite Stud Stakes. And Ennis Diamond, the Oak second, runs here for Aidan O'Brien and Jamie Heffernan. I don't know. I think she's been a little bit disappointing. So I'm going to take a chance on Epona Plays here for Willie McCreary, whose team are coming into form right now. Billy Lee takes the ride. I think the ground will be in Epona Plays' favour, and I think she is just more progressive than Ennis Diamond. So Epona Plays in the 4.55 at Corn Park. And it's a jumping card, actually, at Navan, which is quite interesting. And I'm hoping to have a good look at it, but I haven't got to have a good look at it yet. So I've not looked at Navan.
Well, perhaps you'll just tweet. Are you tipping in the paper or not this weekend?
No, I actually have a busy day ahead because I'm covering Pat Smullen's funeral, so I'm not going to tip in.
Okay, well, if you do fancy anything, perhaps what's your Twitter handle? David Jennings at David Jennings Rate RP, isn't it?
RP, yeah. I've got over 10,000 followers now. People must be very bored.
Have you? Wow, you'll have a blue tick next, won't you? Get you. Excellent. G-Rod, what else do you fancy?
I had to get blue tick. I don't know. Do you have to email them? Wouldn't surprise me.
Do you know what? I actually turned one down.
Turned one down?
Look at you.
No. Mark Langdon, I was really busy one day. Mark Langdon said, he goes, I've got the bloke from Twitter on who does the blue ticks. He wants to know if you, me and Lee Mottazed want one. Brackets, only the important people. And I was like, well, what's the point of it? And Lango just went, well, I'm not really sure. I said, nah, I can't be bothered. But then I got home and told my daughter that I'd turned one down, and she was absolutely horrified. She could not believe it. Because, I mean, for young people, a blue tick is quite a big deal, apparently. But it would have been about the one time she would have admired me. But never mind, I blew it. But
is that his official title, the Blue Tick Man at Twitter? I wouldn't mind that job.
Head of Blue Ticks, yes, indeed. I'm sure your day will come, G. Well, particularly if you can tip us another couple of winners in the next few minutes.
Yeah, well, let's hope we get a couple of ticks for these winners. The 350 at Newmarket, amazed that one of the boys hasn't mentioned it. Maybe they will. 350 at Newmarket, the max we can. I mean, we must tip this horse every time it runs on this podcast. And every time he just disappoints every time. But, I mean, he is well handicapped, as we say, every time. And he is trained by Mark Johnson, so he will come back at some point. And this is 2 mile, 2 furlongs around Newmarket. I think that might suit the max we can. They put Ryan Moore on board. So that's interesting. And then just one more in the following race at Newmarket, the 4.25. There's a horse trained by Eve Johnson Horton called Kepala. Now, this one was a bit disappointing last time out as favourite at Salisbury, but I just thought got a little bit too far behind in a tactical race, stayed on not quite nicely towards the finish. There aren't many better than Charles Bishop in this sort of race, and I think that he might be able to judge this a bit better on Kepala. And if he can have her a bit closer to the pace, I think she'll be hard to beat.
Thank you, G-Rod. Frank, what have you got for us?
I have two in Newton Abbott, the 4.45. It's actually a really nice novice chase. Ultra Love, Irish Prophet, and Cool Cody all have penalties. Darlak is interesting enough, but he doesn't win enough for my liking. Take a chance on Red River. He's very likely raced when he 5 starts under rules. Was second in a point-to-point first assignment. Obviously, we know first assignment was a very useful handicap hurdler. This Red River was a wide margin winner as Hurdle's debut. With Canton back in 2017, was third in a Group 2 at Sandown behind On the Blind Side. Obviously, he's been a little bit tricky to train because we haven't seen him too much since. He sadly slipped on Chase debut at Ludlow in December 2018. He had every chance when that happened and he was pulled up. And then he was off until last November and he fell at Newbury 3 out in the race, Champ 1. He was only 14-1 that day. Now, this is obviously a little bit easier and he's had a wind off since. He's definitely got plenty of ability. If he's on a going day, he could be hard. And in the Cesaris trial, look, the max we can, I've just given up on him now. He could pop up, no problem. But Ocean Wind has to be very interesting for Roger Teal. Very, very good bumper horse. Won a bumper debut at Huntingdon. Was touched off an enlisted bumper at Cheltenham. Hacked up an enlisted bumper at Newbury. And was 6th in the champion bumper, which is a very good effort, really, considering he was only a 4-year-old. 4-year-olds can struggle in the champion bumper. Needed the first run in the all-weather. Put back in the flat at Linkfield, was third, beating 6.5 lengths over 9.5. Bolted up the last day back on turf, beating John Locke by over 3 lengths. Was an easy winner. That John Locke's gone on to frank the form. He's in handicaps here off a mark of 89, and I think he might take a bit of beating on that. And I wouldn't put anyone off having a few bobbing him for the Zarevich himself. He's half 3 kingdoms, who ended up getting 3 miles over fences. So there's actually every chance he could improve or step you know, 2 miles plus on the flat.
Thank you, Frank. That's Ocean Wind in the 350 at Newmarket. Naps time.
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with Graham Rodway.
I'm going to go for 5,000 to 1 in the Mill Reef at Newbury. I suppose
325
time. Yeah, 325. Yeah, 5,000 to 1, 325 Newbury.
Thank you, Graham. Frank.
Very close to napping wise, Constant the Airgold Cup, but I couldn't get away from the 105 at Newbury, Mithras. Massive eye catcher down over 7 furlongs, went fourth. The section was very strong. He got a massive upgrade relative to the rest of the field. Forms worked out incredibly well. The winner one rule was third in the list of racing next start. The second Maximum, the third Latest Generation, the fifth Tauriq, and the sixth Mike Swallow all won their next start. And this Mithras, I think, will win. Entering the Dewhurst Stakes later on in the year, I think he'll win this on route to group.
Splendid. And David Jennings.
Oh, it has to be El Arkam in the 250. Just take a lead from Extra Elusive, take it up 2 out, and could win quite convincingly. So El Arkam 250 Newbury.
Thank you, chaps. Has anyone got anything for Sunday? I think, DJ, you might have sussed one, haven't you?
Yeah, I do. Bruce, the Listowel Harvest Festival starts without a crowd, and that place will be very, very quiet without a crowd. In the 245 at Listowel, Arthur's Baby for Mark McNiff and Philip Enright bolted up on its first start this season, then should have beaten Balnabula Steel, who has won twice since, and got rid of its jockey early last time. Still ridiculously well handicapped off a mark of 99. So that's in the 245 at Listowel, Arthur's Baby.
Thank you. Nothing from you guys for Sunday, no, G-Rod?
No, I did try and I did want to have a look at my local track, Chelmsford, but sadly, I'm so busy today, I just not had time.
Oh, never mind. And how about you, Frank? Are you going to keep your powder dry?
Yeah, Desert Safari might follow up under penalty. A chance for it there, dropped to 5 furlongs, bolted up during the week over 6. But yeah, not a strong fancy, and I couldn't really find anything else anywhere.
And boys, round 2 of the US Open has just kicked off. I trust you've all had a wager. Who have you gone for, Frank?
I actually haven't backed anyone. I hadn't time to really have a proper look, so I just left it off. I'm hoping they let the greens dry out and make them really struggle over the weekend. I think that's going to happen, and it'll be great viewing. Might get involved tomorrow morning after I see what way everything's going.
DJ, how about you? You must have had a bet.
Rory McIlroy at 20 is going okay, and Daniel Berger, who I think is actually played really well in the last couple of months, and he's a really good putter, but his putting has let him down a little bit. And the funny thing about Daniel Berger, obviously, is that, you know, the way the US Masters, you need, it's the top, isn't it, the top 40 in the world or top 50 in the world, and they're going by the world rankings when it was supposed to be held, and he wasn't in the top 50 or whatever it is at that stage, and he's now like number 11, and he's still not allowed to enter. So it'll be interesting to see whether he gets an invite to the Masters. He's going all right, I think.
Can't even get a short answer out of you on a bloody golf tournament, can I? G-Rod, who have you backed?
Yeah, I've had one bet, and I'm really confident, and I obviously am a useless golf judge, but it's almost like I've dreamt it and I can see it happening. I'm just absolutely convinced that Xander Schauffele will win this tournament. For some reason, I've already got it in my head that he's a US Open winner, and it was only when I checked the other day that he hasn't. So, you know, something's telling me that Schauffele is going to win, and he's made a good start as well.
Yeah, well, you better learn how to pronounce his name if he wins.
Schauffele.
Yeah, I actually Googled how to pronounce Lazuli, Graham. I'm not sure I'm wrong.
They're a folk band in Iceland, aren't they? Yeah.
Do you know what, chaps?
Go on.
Do you know what was actually very funny this week was Graham made this big statement how Ryan Moore is not riding as well as he used to, and, you know, he's had his day and he's been absolutely awesome all week.
Yeah, you wrote him off a bit soon, didn't you? Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. Maddie's back on Monday to review the action. We're back next Friday when we're looking at some cracking racing at Newmarket featuring the Cambridgeshire and a stack of Group 1 juveniles as well. So hopefully you can join us for that. Have a great weekend, bet safely, and keep it here for more great racing podcasts.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.